Oh God, take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them, and take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. In the book Lean In by Sheryl Sandberg, the CEO of Facebook, she talks about women in the workplace not feeling as though they have a place at the table, both figuratively and literally. She goes on to explain how women most often suffer from what we call imposter syndrome, feeling as though all they accomplish is somehow a fluke, while men tend to credit what they accomplish with their own hard work. When I read her words, I felt like she was talking directly about me. I remembered explaining away how well I scored on tests, having convinced even myself that it was an accident. This continued on with anything I did well through school and work, and I still struggle with it today. Reading Sandberg's work and that of others like her made me feel less alone and realize at least that this struggle was not just mine. A few weeks ago, I was at an anti-racism training with the rest of the Bishop Search team for our diocese, and one of the presenters, who is a black man, described experiencing a similar thing. He called it internalized oppression. He described how he, as a black man, struggled not to believe the stories that our culture tells about him, and would often doubt his own abilities and experience because others did so. I very much resonated with this feeling, with this struggle to have even a reasonable self-confidence, and realized that while I experienced this somewhat as a woman, I also contributed to it as a white person in society. With an incredibly high number of women and people of color experiencing similar things, it's pretty clear that this is encouraged by our culture. And to be honest, the church doesn't help a lot with so much encouragement not to think of ourselves too highly, and still today echoes loudly culture's criticism of women and people of color with any ambition. Because of this, I understood well Sandberg's observation that women struggle to believe that they belong. And as I read today's gospel passage, I couldn't forget her description of the struggling to feel worthy to even take a place at the table. It was these thoughts that came to mind as I read today's gospel passage. The truth is that I rarely head for the head of the table like Jesus says. I can always remember struggling to even believe that I belong at most tables. Our passage starts by telling us that Jesus is going to eat a meal with some leaders of the Pharisees. Let's just go ahead and say now that while we may think that we would love to sit down and have a meal with Jesus, the accounts we get in the Gospels make it seem that, in fact, he was a pretty terrible dinner guest. This is a Sabbath meal. It's their weekly chance for a delicious meal with fine wine to be enjoyed while relaxing with family and friends. But Jesus starts off by healing a person in the verses that we don't read that are cut out, starting a controversy because it was the Sabbath. Then he goes on to criticize the guests, followed up by insulting the host. He's not exactly your ideal dinner guest. In Jesus' critique of his guests and hosts, it seems at first that he's just offering advice on social structures. But in doing so, he tells us something about the kingdom of God. First, he sees the guests vying for the best place at the table. I'm not sure there's anything quite like this in our society, except for memories of where to sit in a school cafeteria. I have terrible memories of wandering out, scanning the tables, and wondering which tables I might belong at. If there was room for me with the people I wanted to sit with, if I would be welcome in other places, or honestly, if there was just any way to avoid the whole thing and take my food elsewhere. But in Jesus' culture, where you sat at the table was much more structured. In that time, a dinner party both reflected and had incredible influence on your social status. It was an honor to sit close to the host, but the farther away you sat, the less honor you had. In fact, we read in some ancient writers about dinner parties where different food was served to those farther down the table. Good food and good wine were reserved for the host and those close to him. And when Jesus talks about the possibility of being sent down the table or invited up the table, this was not just a moment of embarrassment or glory that would be forgotten by the next day. Those actions would affect your friendships, your business deals, who your children might marry. It had everything to do with social status, which would affect every area of your life. So in some ways, it seems as if Jesus is offering sage social advice. Set yourself up to be honored rather than embarrassed. And this is good advice, but the truth is, it wasn't really anything groundbreaking. The same was said in Proverbs and other parts of scriptures and literature at the time. However, Jesus does now go on to say some things that would have turned the table, so to speak, for those he was sharing a meal with. Jesus goes on with words for his host, the one who had invited him. So far, he had only dealt with the pecking order of those at the table. But even the lowest person at the table was ahead of many others because they had been invited. In the process of wrangling for position at the table, it would be really easy to forget that many did not matter at all in that discussion because they had never been invited. In fact, the only ones around this table would have been men of a certain age, education, ability, and ethnicity. A small amount of the population actually had access to that table at all. So Jesus tells his host that he should not invite his friends, relatives, and rich neighbors, those who might be able to return the favor. He tells them instead that he should invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. He should invite those that society casts off. Those are the people who were believed to have done something to deserve the lives they had, and consequently they had no status in society. They did not belong at even the lowest place at the table because they didn't have a place at the table at all. If we weren't sure about it from Jesus' first words, his advice for his host makes it clear that he is talking about something completely different from what anyone else had ever known. It might be easy to think that what Jesus is saying here is simply to switch the order of position, like the last shall be first and the first shall be last. But to do so would only switch the roles of oppressed and oppressor. It is we humans who are so obsessed with order, with where we stand against one another. And if you think that this is only the Pharisees, remember that Jesus' disciples James and John asked if they could sit at the right hand of Jesus in his kingdom. They thought that they would wait till heaven, but that they would still want to take positions of honor there. But Jesus tells them that he is bringing something different than any of us know. He is doing away with the system of vying for positions and power and personal gain. This kingdom Jesus is building is one in which all are not just welcome. In this kingdom, all are equally loved. And there is nothing we can do to make God love us more, and nothing we can do to make God love us any less. We are invited not because of anything we have or haven't done, not because of anything we can or can't do for God in the future. We are invited because we are loved by a God who is longing to free us from the life-sucking systems that rule our world. We are all invited to this table because we are all loved. This is the good news of the kingdom of God. Too often, passages like the one we read today are used to excoriate pride and encourage a humility that is self-destructing. Christianity has used passages like this to tell people to be content with not having a voice at the table, or at least encourage a humility that makes people feel that they don't belong. This has often happened to minorities, to women, to people of color, to LGBT people, not just by culture, but echoed in the same way by the church as well. But my friends, this is not the gospel. And when we live like this, we are not following Jesus. The good news of Jesus Christ is that we are all invited to the table because we are all God's children. And at that table, we are to know and to live out the truth of who we are and are able to take part in proclaiming and sharing that truth with the whole world. We are loved and we are all invited. And to refuse to take our places at the table to which God invites us is as sinful as pretending that we are God and the table is ours and that we can decide who is invited or place ourselves above others. This is true humility, to know who we are as children of God. To think of ourselves as less or more is an aberration of the truth, but the truth frees us from the struggle of position and prestige that surrounds us and allows us to live into the dream God has for us and our world. At this table of God, we are all invited because we are all loved. None of us comes to this table because we deserve it, but because we are loved by a God who will not let us go. Our God has given us all a place at the table, and we must take our place at the table so that we are able to invite others there and to take part in living out the dream of God here and now. Each of us is called to make this table a place where all are truly welcome, where no one has more power than another, where all are given voice and all are heard. Whatever privilege and power we have is to be used to bring the kingdom of God among us, to give place to those who have not had a place before. And that is work for all of us to do. We don't have to look far in our world to know that some voices are incredibly powerful while others are barely heard. And we separate ourselves into millions of tables rather than listening to and honoring those who are different from us. Who are those in our society who are not invited to the table? Who are those invited to our church? Are they only those who can carry their weight and bring something that helps us? Or do we invite those who can never repay us, except as they will show us the kingdom of God? Are the poor, crippled, blind, and lame of our day invited to the tables of our church, our community, our nation? Inviting them will go against the social structure and powers of our day, just like Jesus did. But it is what we are called to do. And in doing so, we will take part of building the kingdom of God, creating that one table for all, rich, poor, black, Latino, white, straight, gay, single, divorced, married, young, old. Together, we will see a vision of that one table where one day we will all feast together. So come, join us at this one table where you are invited because you are loved more than you can imagine. And then go from here and share that good news, telling everyone about that love and inviting them to take their place at this table so that we may grow closer and closer to the kingdom of God here among us, so that here at this table together, we may catch a glimpse of heaven. Amen.